You're turning your Bible with me to Luke chapter 1. I thank you for watching today, and I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate hearing from you. If you have any comment that you want to make on pertaining to the broadcast, why, I'd appreciate hearing from you. We're going to change things a little bit today. We've been talking about the judgments and trying to identify the different dispensations between the judgments. You that have been watching the program, you know that that's been true. And so today I want to change because of, as they say, the season that is coming up now. And I want to talk to you about this Christmas thing, and mainly pertaining to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When was Jesus Christ born? Was he born December the 25th, or was it another time? And so I believe that if we look into the Bible and compare Scripture with Scripture, we'll be able to find out when he was born. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1. Would you read with me in Luke 1, verse 5? There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, the way that we're going to try to identify the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth date of the Lord Jesus Christ, is by identifying the birth of John, and recognize the fact that John was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. Now, notice down in verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his, that's Zacharias, his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, verse 26 is very important. Now, notice. And in the sixth month, not the 6 month of the year, but the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Notice again, verse 24. After those days, the days of his ministration in the temple, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Go to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, and on and on and on. And so the angel tells her there that she's going to conceive and she's going to bear a child, and who this child is to be. And it turns out it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know then that Jesus Christ would have been conceived in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So what we want to do is, if it's possible to do it, we want to identify as near as we can the time of her conception, of Elizabeth's conception. Now, go back to Luke 1, verse 5. Luke 1, 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. observe that his course, his time in the temple, is during the course of Abia. Now let's see if we can identify that. Turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 24. 1 Chronicles chapter 24. Now in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, the priest service in the temple is being divided. In other words, the priest, the 10 northern tribes, as compared to the 2 southern tribes, the priests are being divided between them so that nobody gets the authority over the other and so forth, evening the thing up so that, let's just say that one from the north would serve for a period of time and then one from the south, one from the north, one and on, so it would be evenly divided between them. But we're interested in the one wherein was Abia. So let's notice in verse 7, after they were divided now, here are the lots. Verse 7. Now the first lot came forth to Jehoreb, the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Melchiah, the sixth to Mijaim. And notice the verse 10. The seventh to Hakaz, and the eighth to Abia. So what I learned by this then? I learned that Zechariah would have been in the temple during the course of Abia. It would be the eighth course. So now let's find out when the courses began and how long they are. Turn in your Bible, please, to Exodus, and look in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. The children of Israel are going out from bondage, crossing the Red Sea and so forth. Now in Exodus 12, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, and on and on and on, and they're to kill it on the 14th day of the month. What month is it? Look in chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Now, verse 4. This day came you out in the month Abib. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 16. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night, and on and on and on. So I know then the beginning of the service would have been in the month Abib, and I can identify that as on the 14th day. In other words, they would have shut up a lamb. They would have, on the 10th day of the month, keep him shut up 4 days and observe him so that they sacrificed him on the 14th day of the first month at evening. So the 14th day then would have begun the feast days of the Lord. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Come to verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord. Verse 15. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on and on and on. Well, I know then that the first month is a month Abib. I know that they started the feast days on the 14th day of the month. And so I know then that the service of the courses would have begun at that time. You'll notice that I got on the board up here. I'll say that this is month Abib, and I'm putting it as equaling unto the 14th would have been probably about our April, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, along in there somewhere. I've got it up here, April the 5th. Now, the length of these courses, we want to observe how long they were. Turn, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 8. In 2 Chronicles chapter 8, notice in verse 14, and he appointed according to the order. Now, the courses have been set in order. The order of David his father, the courses of the priest of their service, the Levites to their charge, and on and on and on. Now, go back with me, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles 23. I know the courses then. I know that David set them. I know the courses begin in the month Abib. I know it's in the 14th day of the month. I know that that would probably match our April about, in other words, somewhere in the 1st of April there. Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 23. 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 8. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 8. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Joiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to, now notice, that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that were to go out on the Sabbath. In other words, the course then would have gone from Sabbath to Sabbath. There are other references in the Bible, but I don't think there's any point in belaboring the issue. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 25. 1 Chronicles 9, 25, and their brethren which were in their village were to come after 7 days from time to time with them, and on and on and on. So I know then that the courses were 7 days long. I know that the priest would go into the temple on the Sabbath day, and then he would come out on the Sabbath day. Another one would come in, and he'd come out on the, and on and on and on. So I know then that Zechariah the priest, the father of John, was told, in other words, during his time in the temple, he was told by the angel that Elizabeth is going to bear a son. Well, when was he in the temple? He was in during the course of Abiah. When is the course of Abiah? It is the 8th course. We saw in 1 Chronicles chapter 24. Now let's notice up here. Saying then, okay, the month Abib, the 14th day of the month would be the beginning. They would be in the temple for a week there. The priest would serve for 1 week. Matching our April, the month of April. All right, if I count then, let's just say that it began on the 5th day of the month, and that would be, one course would be to the 7 days, be to the 12th, then to the 19th. So if I do them like this, I say, okay, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now let's do it again. The courses would have begun, if that be true, April the 5th or thereabout. It would last for 7 days. Zacharias was in the course of Abiah. It was the 8th course. Where's the 8th course? Do it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The 8th course would be right here. It would be from the 24th of May until the 31st of May. Now, go back, please, to the book of Luke. And notice in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Now, Zechariah is in the temple. The angel of the Lord appears unto him. The angel of the Lord tells him that his wife Elizabeth is going to bear a child, and that they're to call that child John. But Zechariah's got a problem with that at that moment, and he doesn't. In other words, he's saying, in effect, show me something. Make me know that this is going to come to pass. And so God Almighty just struck him dumb, so to speak, and he couldn't talk. And so the people are waiting for him to come outside, and when he comes out, he can't speak unto them. And the sign was that, in other words, the point being that when he gets back his speech, that child will be born. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, the days of his ministration would have been accomplished the last of May. His course would have been from about May the 24th to May the 31st, or thereabouts. So he would have left the temple then, the last of May, going to his home the first part of June. Go back in the verse again now. Verse 23, it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Verse 24, and after those days, in other words, after the days that his ministry was accomplished and going to his house, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, so forth and so on. So then I know that Elizabeth would have conceived sometime the first part of June. John the Baptist would have been conceived at some point during the month of June, probably sometime at the beginning of June. Notice again now, verse 23. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. His days of ministry was accomplished during the last week of May. As soon as it was over, he departed to his own house. All right, he goes to his own house. I have no idea how far away from his work his house was, but as soon as it was over, he went home. He'd been in the temple for 7 days. He goes home. While he's in the temple, the Lord tells him his wife Elizabeth is going to conceive and bear a son. He goes home, and soon thereafter, his wife Elizabeth conceives. So I'd suggest then that it would probably be sometime during the early part of the month of June. Now, if I consider 9 months from the time of conception for the birth of a child, then I look over here and let's say, all right, let's just say she conceived John in the month of June. Then July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, that would put John the Baptist, probably born, sometime February to March. Notice, from June, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So John the Baptist probably was born sometime February to March, 9 months after his conception. He was conceived shortly after the course of Abia. The course of Abia would have been the last part of May. John would have been conceived in early June and probably born sometime February to March. Now, with that in mind, notice that John is 6 months older than Jesus Christ. Now, back in the passage, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, that is, the sixth month of her pregnancy, notice in verse 36, the angel has come in unto Mary and talked to Mary, and notice what he said. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. Then we can't miss that if we believe the Bible. So let's go over it again. And I'm going over and over this so you will see it and understand something about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ time-wise. all this Christmas business appears to be some form of a Roman holiday that somebody came up with. But nevertheless, let's try it again. Back in Luke chapter 1, verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his ministry in the temple, his wife Elizabeth conceived, hid herself 5 months. The 5 months is identified for you. Now, verse 26. And in the sixth month from conception, 6 month of her pregnancy, Mary conceives. Look at it again, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Why do I know that the 6 month has to do with from the time of the conception of John? Come down to verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6 month with her, who was called barren. Now go back to verse 27. The angel came to Nazareth to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her. Well, then I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of Almighty God. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and I know that Mary conceived the Lord Jesus Christ in the sixth month after the conception of John the Baptist. So, I put him back on the board. That would mean that John the Baptist would have been conceived sometime, probably, in June. 9 months later would be July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. Well, then I know that Jesus Christ would have been born sometime February to March after the John the Baptist, rather, would have been born sometime after that conception. But if Jesus Christ is 6 months younger than him, then let's count from his birth and see. We'll go to March, we'll go April, that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Start again. From March would be April, May, June, July, August, September. So then Jesus Christ's birth would have been sometime during September. And it is said and believed that the Feast of Tabernacles at that point would have been during September. I would suggest then that Jesus Christ's birth date would be September 29, probably 4 BC, according to our calendar. September, not December. Notice something about his birth, for instance, that would bear this out, that it isn't in December. The shepherds wouldn't be in the fields in the dead of winter, but they are during the time of Christ's birth. The shepherds are in the field. They wouldn't be in the field after the end gathering. When the end gathering came, the sheep would be gathered in. And yet, when Jesus is born, they're still in the fields. That wouldn't be true in December. Roman authorities wouldn't set a tax upon the people if they weren't able to pay it. I mean, why try to gather tax money when there ain't nobody got any? When would they have money? After the end gathering. After the harvest. After the time of the harvest. When would that be? That'd be sometime during the fall, not December. But that isn't all. Why cause people to try to go to a particular city to pay their taxes if it would be extremely difficult for them to get there? Which it would be in the dead of winter. But suppose that all the people were going to go to Jerusalem at a given time anyway, which they did during the Feast of Tabernacles. They would go from other countries. They would come from other countries into Jerusalem to observe the feast time. So they would be going there anyway. Wouldn't that be an appropriate time to tax the people? Well, of course it would. So I'm saying then that they would have been ordered to pay their taxes at a time they'd have the money. They'd have that at the end gathering. The proof they would have it would be the point that they would be going to observe the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And so I establish, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible is clear that the birth date of the Lord Jesus Christ would be sometime in September, probably 4 B.C., according to our calendar. Our calendar's wrong. Well then, if the religious leaders of this world have his birth wrong, why would I want to trust them telling me about how to get saved by him? So how can I be saved? Not by his birth, but by his death. Why was he born? Well, he was born to die. He came into this world to give his life a ransom for many. He came in this world and gave his ransom by dying on the cross and ransomed you at Calvary so that you can be saved right now by trusting him as your Lord and Savior. Will you trust him, believing that he died for your sins? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Until next time, good day. From you that are watching to Grace Believers Bible Study, will you turn with me in your Bible today to Romans chapter 14. I thank you for watching, and as I have in times past, I want to recommend that you get your Bible and check the verses with us. And if you do not have a Bible, if there's no way that you can read with us in the Bible, then I suggest you get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references. Last week we started talking to you about what is known as the Christmas season, and we're really talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and when in reality was the Lord Jesus Christ born. And we saw, according to the scriptures, that Jesus Christ would have been conceived 6 months after the conception of John the Baptist. And therefore would have been born probably latter September, about September 29, maybe 4 B.C. And some people have gotten a little bit upset about me using the term 4 B.C., Well, I apologize. I was not aware that people was not, that they did not understand that our calendar is off 4 years. In other words, if let's just say that Jesus Christ was born at this point right here, our calendar would be about 4 years later. In other words, our calendar is off 4 years, so Christ then would have been born 4 years before our calendar says that he was. Now, I want you to read with me in Romans chapter 14, and what I want to do today, if I can, I want to show you that even though December the 25th and the season that we're involved in is associated with a pagan holiday, yet you as a grace believer, yet you as a child of God, you don't have to take a back seat in worshiping the Lord at this period of time. I want to show you that the devil, the god of this world, tried to take that which belongs to the Lord and apply it to his system of religion, including December the 25th as the birth of the Lord. Now, in Romans chapter 14, the context has to do with eating of things, and it has to do with someone that is weak in the faith. Now, notice in verse 5, Romans 14:5 says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself," and on and on and on. Now, the day is important in the context. Notice again in verse 6, "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord." Now, let me just tell you right now, you need to make up your mind about some things. You to the saved by the grace of God, you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you regard the day as to the Lord? You see, there are people today who regard certain days and they don't regard them unto the Lord at all. And there are others that regard them unto the Lord, but it isn't to the Lord of this Bible, it's to the God of this world. You see, you need to find out, according to the Bible, the days. "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord." And he said, "He that eateth, eateth unto the Lord." But that is not true of people in this age we live in. You see, there is a time for many years now that there are certain religious people that have observed a certain day called Friday. And they called it, they said that the Lord died on that specific day and rose Sunday morning. And they claimed to be regarding Good Friday unto the Lord, but they were not. You see, Jesus Christ did not die, according to this Bible, on so-called Good Friday. Jesus said to some people in Matthew chapter 12, "There shall be no sign given you but that of Jonah." He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, you could not get 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. and Sunday morning at sunrise if your life depended on it, and maybe it will. There is no such thing as 3 days and three nights, but if Christ died Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and rose Sunday morning by sunrise, then he lied in Matthew 12, and that's the idea, is to make him out to be a liar. Make this book out to be a liar. You see, people who say they're eating under the Lord, in many cases, are not. For instance, that same religious system told people that they were not to eat certain kinds of meat on Friday, and so they ate fish. But they didn't do it under the Lord, they did it under a religious system. There are some of you that are listening to my voice you sit in an assembly and you take communion as if you were taking it as unto the Lord, but you're not. You're doing it religiously. You're doing it according to the statutes and the ordinances of a religion that you're involved in. If you had to prove by the Bible that what you're doing is right according to the Scripture, you couldn't do it. And so what's my point here? My point here is that you that are saved by the grace of God, I want to try to show you that worshiping the Lord December the 25th is not wrong. Now notice something. In Matthew chapter 1, in Matthew 1 verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Come down to verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then I know that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost. I know that Jesus Christ is the begotten Son of God, and that Mary the Virgin conceived a child of the Holy Ghost at a given point. Turn to John chapter 4, chapter 1, and notice verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now do it again. And the Word was made flesh, which means dwelling among us. No, it didn't say that. There are two things in the verse. And the Word was made flesh, conception, and dwelt among us, birth. And I'll just say that the conception was right here. The Word was made flesh. Bingo. Conception, Christ, the Son of God, in the womb of Mary. And then 180 days later, Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn with me in your Bible today to Romans chapter 14. I thank you for watching, and as I have in times past, I want to recommend that you get your Bible and check the verses with us. And if you do not have a Bible, if there's no way that you can read with us in the Bible, then I suggest you get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references. Last week we started talking to you about what is known as the Christmas season, and we're really talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and when in reality was the Lord Jesus Christ born. And we saw, according to the scriptures, that Jesus Christ would have been conceived 6 months after the conception of John the Baptist. And therefore would have been born probably latter September, about September 29, maybe 4 B.C. And some people have gotten a little bit upset about me using the term 4 B.C. Well, I apologize. I was not aware that people was not, that they did not understand that our calendar is off 4 years. In other words, if let's just say that Jesus Christ was born at this point right here, our calendar would be about 4 years later. In other words, our calendar is off 4 years, so Christ then would have been born 4 years before our calendar says that he was. Now, I want you to read with me in Romans chapter 14, and what I want to do today, if I can, I want to show you that even though December the 25th and the season that we're involved in is associated with a pagan holiday, yet you as a grace believer, yet you as a child of God, you don't have to take a back seat in worshiping the Lord at this period of time. I want to show you that the devil, the god of this world, tried to take that which belongs to the Lord and apply it to his system of religion, including December the 25th as the birth of the Lord. Now in Romans chapter 14, the context has to do with eating of things, and it has to do with someone that is weak in the faith. Now notice in verse 5, Romans 14:5 says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself," and on and on and on. Now, the day is important in the context. Notice again in verse 6, "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord." Now, let me just tell you right now, you need to make up your mind about some things. You to the saved by the grace of God, you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you regard the day as to the Lord? You see, there are people today who regard certain days and they don't regard them unto the Lord at all. And there are others that regard them unto the Lord, but it isn't to the Lord of this Bible, it's to the God of this world. You see, you need to find out, according to the Bible, the days. "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord." And he said, "He that eateth, eateth unto the Lord." But that is not true of people in this age we live in. You see, there is a time for many years now that there are certain religious people that have observed a certain day called Friday. And they called it they said that the Lord died on that specific day and rose Sunday morning. And they claimed to be regarding Good Friday unto the Lord, but they were not. You see, Jesus Christ did not die, according to this Bible, on so-called Good Friday. Jesus said to some people in Matthew chapter 12, "There shall be no sign given you but that of Jonah." He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, you could not get 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. and Sunday morning at sunrise if your life depended on it, and maybe it will. There is no such thing as 3 days and three nights, but if Christ died Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and rose Sunday morning by sunrise, then he lied in Matthew 12, and that's the idea, is to make him out to be a liar, make this book out to be a liar. You see, people who say they're eating under the Lord, in many cases, are not. For instance, that same religious system told people that they were not to eat certain kinds of meat on Friday, and so they ate fish. But they didn't do it under the Lord, they did it under a religious system. There are some of you that are listening to my voice. you sit in an assembly and you take communion as if you were taking it as unto the Lord, but you're not. You're doing it religiously. You're doing it according to the statutes and the ordinances of a religion that you're involved in. If you had to prove by the Bible that what you're doing is right according to the Scripture, you couldn't do it. And so what's my point here? My point here is that you that are saved by the grace of God, I want to try to show you that worshiping the Lord December the 25th is not wrong. Now notice something. In Matthew chapter 1, in Matthew 1 verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Come down to verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then I know that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost. I know that Jesus Christ is the begotten Son of God, and that Mary the Virgin conceived a child of the Holy Ghost at a given point. Turn to John chapter 4, or chapter 1, and notice verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now do it again. And the Word was made flesh, which means dwelling among us. No, it didn't say that. There are two things in the verse. And the Word was made flesh, conception, and dwelt among us, birth. And I'll just say that the conception was right here. The Word was made flesh. Bingo. Conception. Christ, the Son of God, in the womb of Mary. And then 280 days later, dwelt among us. The period of time that he was carried in the womb would have been 280 days, or 10 lunar months. The period of time that a woman carries a child from the time of conception until its birth is 280 days. 10 lunar months. Now, turn with me, please, to Luke. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, now, the context has to do with Zechariah. Zechariah worked in the temple in the period of time of the Abiah, the course of Abiah we saw last week. Now, notice in verse 23, it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. In other words, when he finished his ministry in the temple, he went home. Verse 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, in other words, sometime in June, sometime during the month of June, Elizabeth would have conceived. Verse 25, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away the reproach among men. Verse 26, and in the sixth month from the time she conceived John. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And I would suspect that the angel here is Gabriel. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he is, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he is. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Hasn't happened yet. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was still a virgin. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. That is unmistakable. In other words, from the time that Elizabeth conceived, which have been in June, 6 months later, Christ would have conceived. Now, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, do you see that, shall come unto me? In other words, shortly after her conception, she went to visit Elizabeth before Elizabeth's time was up. And when she went into the room and spoke unto Mary, John the Baptist, who was in the womb of his mother, evidently recognized the Lord himself in the womb of Mary. Now, this is unmistakable to people that believe this Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. I realize that there are millions out there today that to them this Bible means absolutely nothing. It never has, it doesn't today, and it isn't going to in the future. But we're not worried about them. We're worried about the people that believe this Bible. We're worried about the people that are concerned. We're concerned here today with the people that believe on Jesus Christ, trust in Him as their Lord and Savior, and are saved by the grace of God. I'm concerned that you get your act together and get the thing right. Not being hateful or mean or unkind. You see, I was raised in a home, a Baptist home. And every year at this time of the year, my mother baked cakes for Christmas, which was in accord with Baal worship, but she'd never heard of Baal worship. She didn't know that Jeremiah 44 was in the Bible. Why don't you read it sometime? She baked cakes. But that isn't all. Previous to this, we went out in the woods and chopped down a tree, and we brought it to our house and nailed it to the floor, and we decked it and so forth and so on, trimmed it and this and that and the other. But we didn't know that Jeremiah 10 was in the Bible. And we didn't know that was Baal worship. Read it. There are people that are ignorant of what's going on today. But you don't need to be ignorant. The thing is laid out for you in the Bible. Now, I want to quickly up here draw on the board, and I'm going to say that this right here represents the sun. The earth moves around the sun oblong like so. and I'm not positive about this. I may be off a day or so, but I believe there's 4 days more on one side than the other, or some... No, I'm sorry about that. But nevertheless, at the point right here and here, it's called equinox. Equal day, equal night. Equinox. These times are March the 21st and September, I believe it's 23rd or thereabouts. Equinox. Equal day, equal night. That's when you have the hurricanes and the tornadoes and so forth. Something is happening. Now out here, the sun is the furthest away from the earth, and here it's the closest to the earth. This back here would be during the month of June. This out here is during the month of December, and that time would be about December the 22nd or 23rd along in there. And it's called solstice, the winter solstice, summer solstice. Summer solstice, when the sun is closest to the earth. Winter solstice, when it's furthest away from the earth. So somebody in the past, some religious nut in the past, decided that they would make this to be the birthday of their God, and they turned this solstice, this winter solstice, into a pagan holiday, into the worshiping of idols and the worshiping of things and the giving of presents and things and money and wealth and buying and stealing and drinking and drunkenness and eating and getting fat and owing money and on and on. And that's what it's been down through the years. The God of this world turns something that is of God. You see, the earth going around the sun didn't just happen to be that way. It didn't evolve into that. God made it that way. But the God of this world got into the act, as he does in all things that pertain to God. Now, I want you to consider something with me. I'm going to put on the board up here, and I'm going to say, I'm going to put on this side over here, excuse me, and I'm going to say that this represents John the Baptist over here, represents the conception of John the Baptist, and I'm going to put June right here. July, August, September, November, and December. Now, I'm going to put here the days in these months. They will be 31, 31, 29, this one will be 31, 30. Now, I'm going to say that in June, or I'm going to say down here December, I'm going to put down here that there would be, just for argument's sake, I'm going to say 25 days. Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 30s would be 120. That'd be 123 days. And 29 and 25. 95 is 14, 17, 7. That'd be 177 there. And then up here, that would leave about 3, so that'd be the 20, June, just say June 20, I'm going to put it up here, June the 22nd, just for argument's sake. So I'm going to say that John the Baptist would have been conceived, let's just say in the neighborhood of June the 22nd, which would be the summer solstice, thereabouts. And from that, under this point down here, would be 6 months, basically. In other words, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. In the sixth month, he came.
You don't either?
So, from John's conception unto Christ would be 6 months. Now on this side over here, I'm going to put up here, I'm going to go from the different route. I'm going to put December, January, February, March, April. Let me see if I got them right. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, February, May, July, August, September. Have I got it right? Is that right? Now, if Jesus Christ was born on September the 29th, and apparently he was, then he would have been conceived on December the 25th, and that'll work out. If you'll take those months and add up the days there, you'll find that between December the 25th and September the 29th is 280 days. In other words, 280 days from here to here, and Jesus Christ was born. Now, that shouldn't be complicated. All you have to do is just sit down and think it through, figure it out, work it out, and my figures might not be absolute here. I'm not trying to show you how smart I am, because I'm pretty dumb. All I'm trying to do is get you to see that December the 25th is not a pagan holiday. I'm trying to get you to see that December the 25th is a day of worship. I'm trying to get you to see that you that are saved by the grace of God, that you can observe December the 25th as the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he was born September the 29th, and you can worship God in reality and in truth on that day, knowing what you believe and why you believe it. Not some pagan ritual, not some pagan holiday, not some thing made so that you can use your credit cards and get in debt that it'll take you another year to pay off until you have to do it all over again. No, none of those things. I'm saying that Jesus Christ would have been conceived on or about December the 25th and born on or about September the 29th as a matter of fact. Not myth, not fairy tale, absolute reality, tracing his birth from the conception of John the Baptist, 6 months older than him, him being conceived about December the 25th, and that's a fact. Now, just in case there's somebody that is watching the program and you're not saved, all of this is of no value whatsoever to you unless you believe on Christ. All of this is nothing to you unless you trust him as your Lord and Savior. You see, the purpose of all this was to bring into the world a Savior. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, then why was Christ born into the world? To save sinners. Well, how did he do that? He did it by dying. Turn, please, to Romans, and look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Notice in verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Then Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. How can Jesus Christ save sinners? Having died for them, How can you as a sinner be saved? By believing on Him, believing that He died for your sins and was buried and rose again. You cannot be saved by repenting at the altar. You cannot be saved by confessing your sins. You cannot be saved by getting baptized. You cannot be saved by joining the church, taking communion, or any of the things that religion tells you about today. How can you be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what? That He died for your sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again. For the wages of sin is death. Praying at the altar is not dying. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for watching today. Until next time, good day.